Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Art of Flying with Tobin Osuski. I appreciate you tuning in. An interesting subject today. This is a moment in my life, the one I'm going to explain in this story, that I felt is two things at the same time. Very conflicting and different things, yet it marked a point in my life where all of my decision-making changed, and I didn't realize up until the moment that this happened that I had some type of skewed vision or blinders on that was, in a sense, stopping me from seeing true reality. I don't know how else to explain it other than I was not able to see reality as it was, and I didn't react properly to this event that I'm going to explain. And I'm saying this because I think we all have this, and I'm not sure exactly why we all have it occurring, but I feel as a society we all have these blinders on. And by blinders, I mean like when horses are in race horses, when they're on the track, they're actually wearing like a blinder, like a blindfold, and they're just trained to run straight, run fast, and do what the jockey tells you. And this story, this episode today, is about that we all have these blinders on, and very few of us, I'm not necessarily included in that us, very few humans, people, are able to snap out of that blinder state when life needs them to be there present for people and helping people. And an example is stories I've told in the past about my car accident that, you know, maybe 20 people stopped, and every single person but one was standing there staring, and only one person jumped in to help. So that just kind of shows you the percentage of us that would actually know how to act properly in an emergency situation or a life or death situation for ourselves or for other people. And it's scary. It's really scary that 90% of us, 95% of us would not have the fortitude or the insightfulness or self-awareness or situational awareness to do the right thing when it needs to be done. And the reason I'm recording this podcast, this episode today, is because since this moment, I've only wanted another opportunity like I had to do what I was supposed to do, the right thing, and I didn't, and I regret that. But at the same time, this moment that I'm going to discuss is the same moment that I feel I met God for the first time in my life fully, in person form, in human form. God arrived to me and I fucked it up. And that said, I'm sure I've met God a million other times in different situations through different people and in interactions and other beings of consciousness, animals and so on. But it wasn't necessarily a moment where God needed me to step up and be the being that I was born to be and that I know myself to be in my heart. And I'm going to tell you the story, and then we're going to get back into kind of what I'm talking about now, which is most of us will not act on things like this. But I'm hoping that whoever listens to this and shares this, the people who are exposed to these words and this conversation today are more likely to act upon something when they have the opportunity to, or when life throws them into a situation that they didn't expect and they have the opportunity to be the best version of themselves right there, and it will actually make a positive impact on the lives of infinite people from then on, especially one person. I hope that, you know, these words and my story and my regret, but at the same time, my awareness of what happened in this situation allows you to be more aware. The listeners, whoever you may be, I hope that you increase your awareness. So if you find yourself in a situation like I found myself in, that you do what I was unable to do. So long story short, I'm standing in front of my gym one day. It's middle of the day, like lunch break, so the town is dead. There's nobody in the gym. I'm standing there alone outside, just kind of seeing what's happening. And from my left-hand side, there's like a dance studio to the left of where my gym was. So there's always kids going in and out, but not normally at this time. They're busy when we're typically busy, at, you know, evening times. And this kid comes up to me. I want to say the kid was 7 or 8 years old, no more than 10 years old. And I don't normally have kids coming up to me alone without a parent. I'm a fitness center. When kids come in, their parents are there to sign them up or to drop them off for classes that they're already signed up for. It's very cut and dry. There's no random kids under 10 years old walking up to my gym to speak to me. It's just not a normal thing. So that's out of, you know, the average. So I'm a little like, oh, like what's going on here? And the kid asks me, have you seen my $20? Which to me was the strangest question I've probably ever been asked, especially by a, you know, 7, 8 year old kid, under 10 year old kid. Like what the fuck is a little kid walking around with $20 for with no parents around? And like what? So my mind starts asking all these questions. And I answered directly. I said, no, I didn't see $20. And then I started getting all weirded out. I'm like, why is this kid coming up to me asking me for $20? And I'm just thinking, it's like a prank TV show, or is like this the kid of one of my members and they're like trying to trick me into something, like giving the kid money, or I don't know what the hell was going on. It was the strangest situation in the world. So I look at the kid for a second. And he's very pale, as if, you know, he hasn't had a lot of nutrients. His eyes are super heavy, like he can barely open his eyes. I've grown up during this opiate epidemic that we've been dealing with in the United States, and I've seen people on heroin. I've seen people on these pills that they don't know that they're not acting normal in public. They're just like so deep into their painkiller or whatever this opiate does that they don't mind looking like a fool in public. Now, these are adults. Like, now, I'm staring at a kid who's maybe 8 years old and he looks like he's doped up on heroin or like way too many of these prescription pills. And just above his left eye, he's got a scar that's maybe, I don't know, 3 inches on a little head that's pretty significant. But the scar looks like it's been there for a long time, like it's already kind of grayed out and darkened at this point. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe this kid like had a head injury at some point and he's on some type of, you know, medication that's helping with a side effect of a traumatic brain injury, or he's suffering pain from whatever this head injury was. And now I'm gonna criticize myself. My stupid fucking ass should have woken up at this point and realized this kid seems to be drugged. He's asking weird questions to strangers. I've never seen him before, and he looks like he's been abused significantly at some point. So at that point, I should have called the cops and I should have said, kid, you know what? I think I saw your $20. Give me a second. I'm going to go look for it. And I should have gone inside and called the police and had them come down and investigate what was going on with this kid. But I didn't. I justified it's none of my business. That was weird. That was crazy. I don't know what was going on there, even though there was a piece of me that thought, a part of my mind from the moment that it occurred, I thought somebody was like setting this kid up to do this. And I said this earlier, but I thought in a positive way, like a joke or a prank show, because I've never experienced something like this before. What I realized now, 100%, was that this child, this kid, was being, you know, put up to this by probably someone who was sitting nearby in a car waiting and hoping that a few people would give this kid $20 and the kid would come back and give this person the money and they would go to another town and do the same thing. And then I started going further and going, oh my God, there's a high likelihood that the person doing this was not the parent or family member or guardian of this child, that they were probably a human trafficker or kidnapper. And this kid had been kidnapped from somewhere else in the world or the country and was being transported city to city, town to town, state by state, to do this little scam, collect money, and then maybe, who knows, doing sexual favors for people, being forced into sex trafficking situations. And once I came to that realization, all the other stuff made sense. The kid asking for the high amount of money, the dopiness to him, the obvious head injury, the, you know, not being taken care of, like the dirty clothes and the lack of, you know, nutrition, the malnutrition, it all started to make sense. And the reason I'm recording this today is because it's raining. And a lot of people say when it's raining, God is crying, right? Well, I felt that day I created a reason for God to cry for a long time, because I could have saved that kid's life. And I think about this a lot, that even if I just called the cops and I was completely wrong and I was mistaken, that whoever was the guardian for that kid might have gotten disciplined a little bit, and, you know, a social worker might have come in and gotten that parent to start doing the right thing with this kid, whoever he was. Worst case scenario, the police find that this is a missing child from somewhere else, identify him, he's now safe in the, you know, hands of the police, away from whoever this person was that was telling him to go around and ask for money, and maybe potentially reunited with his real parents and rehabilitated and rescued from a future in life that now has been 5 more years since, and the kid's probably either dead or suffering even worse, and it's partially my fault because I didn't do anything about it. I just feel like I let God down. I let this kid down. I let myself down. I let all of the belief I had in myself and my attunement to what's going on in reality, I was blinded. I was completely lost. And there's a million excuses I can make that, you know, I was emotionally traumatized from my father passing away recently, from a failed relationship, from potentially meeting my soulmate and losing that person, and from having several employees steal from me and my business after they found out I wasn't paying attention as much as I used to after my father passed, and just a lot of like really terrible things that led me into this state that I wasn't thinking clearly and I wasn't myself. But that's no excuse, because if everybody was in that mindset when I was in my accident, I would have died and I would have suffered a lot more. And I felt like I let this kid down, that he suffered and he's suffering now more than he ever had to, because I did not step up to the opportunity that God presented me with to save this child and make a difference in this person's life, and to show them that people can be different than what he'd clearly experienced up until he met me. And I just proved to him that I wasn't any different, and I let everyone down in this situation. This is going to be a short one today. I really don't have much more to say other than I hope if you hear this, that you start to open your eyes a little bit more and spot situations where you can help people. Not necessarily a child sex trafficking situation like I might have potentially had the chance to intervene on. But maybe someone's in a car accident and you are looking as you drive by instead of stopping. Like, stop. Next time, stop and just see if they need help. You might not be capable to help, but ask if they need help. Don't just watch it happen. If you see a woman being abused by what seems to be her spouse in public, intervene. And vice versa. Parents abusing children in public, intervene. I wish someone intervened when my mother was abusive to me when I was growing up. That would have given me more fortitude to intervene when this kid came across me, and I could have stopped him from being abused much worse than my mother was ever abusing me. And these things, these snowballing effects happen. And they don't just mean they happen in powerful things, they happen in non-powerful things too. If we allow things to go by us so many times, we're going to continue to allow them. But if we take problem, we take issue with little wrong things, we will be much more likely and capable to do something when we see a big wrong thing happening. Because right now there's a lot of big wrong things happening in the world. And around the time of this recording, we had just experienced the 1,000,000th freaking school shooting of innocent kids dying because adults weren't willing to do anything in Uvalde, Texas. And this is going to stay around for a long time because Matthew McConaughey, a famous actor, award-winning actor and activist, is from this town. And we all watched on national television the police of the United States doing nothing for over an hour, standing around watching, being cowards, being worthless losers that we expect to be heroes, and they expected themselves to be heroes, and they were losers, and they took other losers' advice and remained bigger losers, and now they're going to lose forever because there were parents of children running into the school with an active shooter while police officers in body armor with weapons and training were scared, hiding. So that shows you that this podcast episode is needed more than ever right now because the people that are supposed to be helping us are scared little coward losers, all of them. And if they have anything to say contrary to what I'm saying right now, prove it. Go out there and be the hero that you claim to be. Don't just talk about it and act like it, pretending to act like it. Actually be it. Be it. Be the hero. Because I'm out here calling on the common person to recognize when they need to be a hero within themselves, when the opportunity and situation presents itself, because I fucked up, because I was around a bunch of cops who didn't do shit ever when people needed help. So I thought, oh man, like I'll just be the same. I won't help this kid and the cops won't help this kid and none of us will help this kid. This kid's helpless, so he's going to be helpless forever. And that's bullshit. I was a coward for that. But I was in a country of cowards surrounded by heroes that are cowards. All of them. It sucks. But most of my listeners are from the United States. Recognize that everyone around you is a coward. And that the only way that things will change for the better is if you, the listener of this podcast episode right now, does something in the future. And the only way you're going to do something in the future is to know that you have the opportunity every day of your life to do something. Every time you go out of your door into public, there is an opportunity to help somebody that you overlook. I am going to do this every day from now on. If there's somebody I can hold the door for, if somebody drops something and I can pick it up for that person to make their life easier, I'm going to rush to it. Even if I look like an idiot doing it, I don't care. I'm going to continue to live that way, and I hope that you live that way because, trust me, you don't want a memory haunting you like it haunts me of what I could have done to change that kid's life and maybe what I could have prevented that kid from experiencing after. And there's nothing I could do about it now other than record this podcast and hope that maybe one of you encounters this same child who might now be 14 or 15 and you might have the opportunity to help this kid before he puts other kids in danger because he was not able to break out of the cycle and he is going to do that to others in the future. We need to figure this out. And one of us, me, you, one of us who's involved in this conversation right now, someone that you tell about it, is going to do the right thing. And they're going to change the future for everyone because they did the right thing and they stepped up when most other people wouldn't step up. So a short one today, less than 20 minutes, but thank you guys for listening. You know, please share this. This is an important one to share. This is not a mystical philosophy. This is not a cool experience that I'm sharing that, you know, you might be able to, you know, absorb some lessons from. This is vital information that we all need to share right now and do and go out and do. This is how we fight human trafficking, one incident at a time, not exposing a whole network of criminals traveling to foreign countries to do shit. Like, it's in your neighborhood. There are kids in your neighborhood, wherever you live in the United States, that are being human trafficked either to family, to friends, to somebody. And it might be with their own family members. It might be with somebody they were kidnapped by. But they live in your neighborhood. The statistics are high enough in the United States that there is absolutely someone in your neighborhood that you could be paying more attention to that is doing something that is harming the well-being of innocent children, whether theirs or someone else's or someone that's been kidnapped. You don't know which one of your neighbors has some weird shit going on in their basement that you're going to find out about 20 years from now on a true crime documentary. You can be the one that does something about it. So when you sense that there's a neighbor that's a little odd, question them. There is a neighbor in my old neighborhood that when I moved in, everybody called him Creepy Paul. And I found out many years later when I caught him doing a lot of weird shit and I looked into his criminal background that, you know, he's had priors and he was Creepy Paul and he had done a lot of creepy shit with people in the neighborhood. But nonetheless, new generations of kids being born in the neighborhood are hanging out by this guy's house and nobody knows, nobody says anything because nobody stepped up to do anything about this asshole. I reported him to the police for abusing animals. That's a prerequisite, a precursor sign to people abusing humans. The police should have investigated this guy, and I'm sure they have in other incidents. Because he had lived there much longer than I had lived there, and I'm not the first person who took issue with this guy's behavior. So, look into it, guys. When you see something that seems wrong, it probably is wrong. And if you call it out on wrong and it turns out, you know, you were misunderstanding the situation, that's okay. You can apologize after, and chances are, if it was a misunderstanding, nobody's going to get in trouble for it. But if you call something out and you spot something and it happens to be an actual situation, you could save someone's life or many people's lives and prevent a much worse future from encountering everybody in the situation, yourself included. Because trust me, at the end of the day, you don't want to live with this memory that 5 years after the situation makes you want to record a podcast episode to give other people the heads up that, you know, shit like this is happening. Disgusting humans are out there, and we have an opportunity to do good and hold them accountable and also rescue the people that may be their victims. So keep your eyes open. It's going to get worse in the future because this world is getting tougher and more disconnected and apathetic. We need more people stepping up and being heroes and doing the right thing. If you're witnessing a school shooting or a mall shooting or a store shooting, there's a chance you might die. There's other people dying. Be the person that dies trying to save the other people or trying to take down the shooter. There are worse ways of dying and there are way worse legacies to live than being a hero. Think about that. So I hope that you can do the right thing when the situation presents itself. And if you see someone that needs help, please be there to help them because it saved my life and it can save somebody else's life. Thank you, guys.